Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord from Luke. We're going to go in Luke chapter 9 and or Luke chapter 8. Before I say anything, I got to say that this is kind of an ongoing theme of mine for a few times that I've been up here giving the word. Luke chapter 8 and the parable of the sower. It's just something that's been burning at my heart and burning inside of me that. So I'm going to say that this is like part two or three, or I don't remember, but it's part something. How many of you have ever worked? Amen? All right, worked where, let's say housework, let's say yard work. Any of you ever worked on a farm? Helped on a farm? Planted a garden? Anybody had a brand new lawn and planted grass? All right? And I say that because this past week, Nina and I have been trying to get our house together and make it a little bit nicer than it is and doing certain things around the house and cleaning it up and getting it ready to do some remodeling and whatnot. I had to put some new fascia board on my house and it comes a time now that the grass is starting to come up, and so you have to aerate the grass and the yard and throw new seed out and fertilize and work the ground a little bit to get that grass to come up, because you all like to step on grass. It's nice and fluffy, right? Amen? It's nice rather than rock and dirt. Right? And so we've been doing some things, and Lord spoke to me the other day. I was outside pulling some weeds and seeing the patches in the ground where the weeds kind of just ate away at the grass and the grass where the grass isn't coming up, and parts of the corners of the yard where the grass isn't really growing that good, and certain places that the grass isn't growing at all, and et cetera, et cetera. And the Lord really spoke to me and said, you need to go read the parable of the farmer again. I said, okay, all right. I've read it like 30 million times. And so I do it again, as the Lord said. And so if you've ever read the parable of the farmer or the seed sown or the parable of the sower, however you want to look at it, whichever Bible translation you're reading has a different title. And if you look through the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, they all have a different kind of title and a different side of each of the stories. But the gist is there was a farmer, right? A person. Let's just say that a person, right? And they go out to the field and he's sowing seed, right? Let's just say it's corn, right? Let's just say it's corn. Or where I'm from, we do corn and soybeans, right? I'm from Ohio, so, right, that's pretty much corn all the way around, or beans, right? Or soybeans, right? And so I remember working with some of my friends in the summertime and working in the farm and doing some gardening and whatnot. And it's an amazing thing to understand how to seed and what to seed. And grass is a little bit different than how they do seed nowadays. Nowadays, they have these nice little tillers that go along, and then it plants the seed every so often. And it's a really interesting tool that they use now. But I can just imagine back in the day, back in the day where there was no technology, so to speak, where you just go and till the land and we'll sow it, right? And that just really spoke to me, because that's how I seeded my lawn or reseeded my lawn. Put some here, put some here, put some here, put some here. And some landed on the concrete sidewalk, and some landed on the street, and some landed over here, and some landed where I wanted it to go, and some landed just where I didn't want it to go. And so you take a broom and you push it back where it was supposed to go. And this parable really spoke, and God says, read this again. And so I'm going to read it. Okay, let's read it together. Okay, so in Luke chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 4. It says, one day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that he had gathered from many towns to hear him. Verse 5, a farmer went out to plant his seed, and as he scattered it across the field, some seed fell on a footpath. Some translations right there say some seed fell by the wayside, where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Verse 6, other seed fell among rocks, and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for the lack of moisture. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as has been planted. When he had said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now verse 9 says this, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saying that when they look, they won't really see, and when they hear, they won't really understand. Verse 11, This is the meaning of the parable, the seed of God's word, that the seed that fell on the footpath or by the wayside represents those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seed on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then fall away when faced temptation. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. And verse 15 says, and the seeds that fell on good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Amen. Amen. Now, when I read this the first time, and you immediately look at what's obvious and talking about the seeds being God's word, and you throw it out, being the message of salvation, being the gospel, that it's thrown out. You know, you throw it out, you give it to whoever, you give it, and then it lands on soil, it lands on this, and lands on that. And what we really want is what we automatically go to is the good, and the good landed on the good soil. So we focus on the good soil. But my question this last time when I read it, God said, why did the farmer throw the seed to the places that he knew it wasn't going to grow? Why did the farmer sow the seed in certain places that he probably already knew wasn't going to produce? That was my question. As a farmer or as worked on a farm, you know certain places of land that, well, that's not really going to do too much there. You know that the corners are not going to do too much and this and that are not going to produce a whole much there. And you kind of expect that certain areas of your land isn't going to produce very much. But this farmer scattered seed everywhere. And so I was a little intrigued by that because why? Why would a farmer allow precious seed that probably costs money? Why would he allow that precious seed to be sown on a footpath and to be sown on thorny places, to be sown on rocky places? Is this an irresponsible farmer? This is my questions, right? Because when you read the word, it sparks me questions. Why did they do that? So is this an irresponsible farmer that didn't really know what he was doing? Wasting seed? At the time, he was doing the acceptable method, which was you take seed and you throw it out and like so, right? And you put it where you want to put it. And so he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, tossing it in handfuls as he walked through the field. Obviously, his goal was to do what? Harvest as much as he possibly could, right? That was his goal. Obviously, he wanted to have it land on good soil. But waste, when you're throwing things, waste is inevitable. As some falls here and there, blows in certain places, some of that seed is not going to take in those places. And we see that in this parable. Some seed produces the crop and some seed does not, but that's not the farmer's fault. You see, that was the reason. The reason was that the farmer was expecting to have a harvest, no matter where he threw that seed. He was expecting, he worked the ground, he tilled it, he worked on it, and he threw the seed expecting that it would produce. Expecting that it would get what he gave. The yield, the harvest from the parable, obviously is dependent upon the soil that it lands on. Amen? Right? Is the farmer responsible for that seed to grow? Does the farmer make that seed grow? But it is his responsibility to sow the seed. See, the farmer sowed the seed on all the different types of ground, knowing what he would yield or not yield, but he sowed it with expectancy. He gave it out with expectancy, meaning that he hoped, he prayed, he did it in hopes that it would grow. You see, he did it knowing that he may not get anything, but he had faith that he might get something. You see what I'm saying? And although we know this parable, we know the outcome of this parable and how it comes to play. We don't know necessarily the outcomes of the seed that we sow. And the seed being God's word. Amen? So if we sow seed, we don't necessarily know how it's going to come back. We may never see that person again. That person may be long gone. But is our responsibility to whether that seed grows? No. Our responsibility, like the farmer, is to make sure that we sow the seed, that we give it out, that we spread it. I want you to turn to John chapter 7, verse 24.
Oh, we don't have enough.
John chapter 7, verse 24. And I think it says this. It says, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. And I put that in there because I believe that sometimes, like a farmer, or what we do sometimes as people is that we judge based upon appearances. So we might come across somebody that we might seem to think is not fertile soil. And what I mean by this is that I think sometimes we hold in our seeds. We may become selfish and greedy of our seed, that it's something that we have, that's mine, that's what I have. Or we hold it in because of outward appearances. And by this I mean, we may not spread the seed because we automatically look at someone and think that we know the soil by how it looks. And that's where this scripture comes in, is look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. If sometimes you look at the top of the soil, sometimes you may look at it, it could look dry. Especially here, I've noticed that the top of the soil could look cracked and dry, but you get about a half inch underneath and it's nice and soft and crumbly and good. So we can't judge based upon appearances. And I believe that some of us, I'm including myself, I think at first glance on certain people, we hold in our seed, saying, oh, you know what, that's probably unfertile soil. I don't want to, can't do it. I'm not going to be wasting my time. The farmer could have said that, but what did the farmer do? He sowed the seed anyway. He sowed the seed, expecting a return. And I think that sometimes, well, I believe, because I know that I've done it, and I'm human, we're all human, and I think we've all done this one time, two times, three times, or more, where we look at somebody and somebody doesn't look the part. They don't look to be, oh, yeah, you know, they got tattoos and whatnot. They can't be a Christian. Well, they're not going to, oh, you know what? They're not going to be a good Christian if I try to, you know, get them to see. So we just don't do it. We think they don't look the part, or maybe they don't talk the part. Maybe they're a person who cusses a lot and we think, oh, they can't be helped. Or they talk lewdly and rudely, and they think, oh, hey, I better not throw my seed over there. That's not going to take right there. Before we even look under the surface, before we even get there to even try to look under the surface, we judge on surface features. Amen? So we think maybe they're like thorns, or maybe they're like the rocky soil, and we don't cast our seed. But if we took the time to look underneath, we would find fertile soil. I think the point of this parable is to tell us to understand that we need to be like the farmer and just cast our seed wherever it's possible, so that way we can reap the harvest however great possible. Amen? However big is possible, we need to sow the seed whenever we have a chance to sow the seed, so we can get the harvest however big the harvest. Amen? But we have to get off of our own mind and out of our own blinders and sow the seed. We don't know necessarily the condition of their heart. And as people, the soil is like the heart of the person, right? In the parable, the heart of the person is like the soil. We don't know the condition of the heart. And all honestly, we don't necessarily know the condition of anybody's heart. The word says you may know them by their fruit. And that should be a looking glass into their heart. Truly, we don't necessarily know the condition of anybody's heart, but does that deter us from sowing seed? According to the parable, it should not. According to what Jesus said, it should not. Amen? No matter what the soil looks like, no matter what the soil may talk like, no matter what the soil may be, we should sow the seed. Amen? We don't necessarily know what that word is going to do for them. This parable talks about sowing seed, a farmer sowing seed, and that means that we are teaching, preaching, spreading the gospel. Spreading the good news, amen? Spreading the message of salvation to other people, amen? The farmer sowed good seed, but it didn't all sprout. It didn't all take. All of the plants, or all of the, even the plants that grew had varying yields, which means they only gave so much fruit, or only gave this, or only gave that. And so he still gave the seed. He still put it out there. And then it was the soil's job to take it in, caress that seed, give it moisture, and get it to be. Now, our job then is to teach and preach and lead others to. That is our job. That is our, it's one of our calling, is to preach and teach and lead others to the Lord. Amen? Some of you may be called to do it in a church. Some of you may be called to do it in your family at home. But either way, it's to teach and to lead people to. And when you talk to other people, when you are on certain ground and you don't necessarily know what the soil is like, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be blocked by scruffy looking people or tattoo bodies or pierced bodies or people who speak differently or who speak rudely or whatever. Don't be discouraged because you don't know their heart. You don't know what lies underneath. The word that you give them, the seed that you spread to them might be just what they need. We just don't know. So we spread it. Amen? So we spread it. We spread it. They take it in and God grows it. Amen? We spread it. We are His hands and His feet. We spread it. You spread it. I spread it. We send out the message. We give out the gospel. We do these things. But they got to take it in. And then God grows it. Amen? When you take, and this parable, and what I'm talking about here is not to get you down and not to make you, doubt yourself. I'm encouraging you to go out there and just spread the gospel. Amen? I encourage you, don't be discouraged. Don't think of other people so differently that you hold in your seed. Spread your seed. Spread the gospel. Amen? Spread the gospel. You might come on people you might not have the words to say, or you don't know what to say to them, or you don't know what's going on. It's okay. Just talk to them. All you have to do is be yourself. And if God is in you, being yourself is good enough. Amen? If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, everything that comes out is good. Everything that will come out of you, if you take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, is going to be exactly what they need. And it's going to be from you, from your heart. Good seed sown. Amen? And even when you talk to people, be aware that they may not understand. They may not know where you're coming from. They may not understand exactly what you're talking about. That's okay. Our job is not to make them understand. It's not a mathematical equation that you have to give this and then plus this and then plus this and then years of discipleship. And then it's not necessarily an equation that you have to follow. It's just that we have to sow seed. You know, it's not that you got to put the seed in the spreader and it's 4-1, 3-1 fertilizer seed. And it's not an equation you have to figure out. It's just you sowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Giving out the message of salvation. So when you talk to the people, be aware they may not understand and they may not be ready. You may have some backlash. That's okay, because that word will penetrate. That seed will penetrate into their heart. Maybe not now, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not a week, maybe not a month, maybe not a year, but it will penetrate and it will grow and you will see change in their life. Be patient. Take every chance to tell them more about God. How many of us have a family member that maybe is not so nice at hearing the word of God? I could use other words, but, right? I have a couple of those, right? We all have a couple of those people in our lives, right? Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Just give them the seed. Give them the seed. Let them work it out. Sow the seed. I would encourage you not to throw it in their face, but that doesn't sit good with anybody. But give them the seed. Give them the seed in love. Say, here you go. I got something for you. You might want this. You know, and if they don't take it right away, it's okay. Most of us don't like somebody to correct us. Anybody like that? Anybody here like that? No. If I had a handful of God's word and seed, I went like this. Hey, you! Come on! Don't you get it? How many of us would like that? I mean, would you be, that might be. No, nobody, that is not in love. Amen? That is not in love. That is in something different, right? In love, give them the seed, give them the gospel in love. And you know what? If they're not into it, let it be. Be patient. Be patient. I would encourage you not to try and throw seed at somebody and try and lay seed at somebody and say, oh, they're not getting it. I'm done. They're never going to get God. I would encourage you not to do. I would encourage you to keep loving on them. Keep loving on them. Keep watering that seed. Keep working the ground. Keep loving on them in love, because that's what will grow. That's what will grow. Because what will happen is very simply, they will see God's love through that. And that seed will grow and grow and grow. And it's not you, it's God, but God through you. Amen? But that wouldn't happen if you just left. That wouldn't happen if you didn't throw the seed, if you know what I mean. That wouldn't happen if we just decided not to look at that person and be like, oh, you look like a biker. You're pretty tough. If I told you about God and that, you know, you need to, you know, you're going to go to hell, I might not like what happens. Well, if we sowed the seed in love, I think we all know that it's better taken. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Nobody likes Mary Poppins? Nobody's seen Mary Poppins? Yeah, come on now. A spoonful of sugar. It's true. It's true. It really is. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. God's medicine, sometimes it's hard to take. Amen? Some sugar, right? With some love, it goes down a lot easier. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Are you with me? With me? It's just a time of encouragement. A time of encouragement to build our faith. To build your faith up. To say, yes, I can do it. I can do what God called me to do. I can spread the word. It's easy, right? I just throw it out there, right? Just throw it out there. You know, I picture the farmer just walking up and down his field going like this with a big smile on his face. Why? Because he's sowing the seed. He thinks, oh, you know what? What's going to happen in a few months from now? Ooh, I'm going to get the heart. All right. I can take it to the market, make some money. I can have food to feed my family and feed some other people. Rock and roll, right? Why can't we do the same thing? Sow the seed. Boom, 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 boom. You know what? I threw it over here. Okay. If it takes, it takes. Amen? Amen. 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 Be patient and take every chance to tell those people more about God. Amen? I want you right now, I'm just going to do a little activity right now. I want you to close your eyes. I do this with my students at school. I have them close your eyes. I know it seems weird. I'm not going to hit you or anything. I'm not going to throw anything at you. I'm not going to throw a seed at your face. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think of at least one person that you know that's somebody you got to be patient with. It's that one person or two people. Maybe you got a whole bunch. But God says this to you. He says, sow the seed, be patient, and take every chance to tell them more about God. God says, then pray that the Holy Spirit will open their minds and the hearts to receive the truth. But keep talking and keep praying. Amen? Amen. The productivity, the growing is in God's hands. When you speak the word, when you sow the word to the people, you give it out, right? Now it's in God's hands. Now it's in God's hands. Now we can pray. Now we can pray that the Holy Spirit will take heed. The Holy Spirit will do its job and work in that person. Amen? And pray that every time that we talk to this person about God, that they hear the word that you're saying. That they hear the words that are being spoken out of your mouth. Now, the hearing that we talk about, hearing the word of God produces what? Faith. We talk to the people. We talk to those people that you had in your mind about God and about how God works in your life. Guess what that's what's going to do to them? It's going to stir their faith. How many of us ever talked to somebody and now we talked about God and then now they're a Christian. Now they're walking in God. But how many of us can remember the first time we talked to them and then, you know, maybe it wasn't so good. And then you kept talking to them. And now they're seeing how God is working in your life. And then all of a sudden now they're asking you, will you pray for me? Will you pray for this in my life? Will you have faith with me and pray for this? How many of us have been there? It went from, I'm not praying at all. God doesn't exist, to, will you pray? Will you pray for me and my family? How many of us have been there before? And then all of a sudden now it's, I'm praying for you. I'm praying. And then it moves on down the line to where now their faith is solid, right? It's a process, right? Wouldn't have got there if you didn't sow seed. Amen. But they're hearing. It's the hearing that we're talking about. They're hearing the word of God, and the word of God is coming from you. Amen. The word of God is coming out of your mouth. That's what they're hearing. And it's not the hearing like, we listen to background music when you're doing something where you barely really, you hear it, but you don't hear it, right? Or that person that tells you the same story the 50 millionth time and you hear it, but you're not really listening. Or you're listening, but not really hearing what's going on, right? Because you know the story. Oh, yeah. Jesus wants the kind of hearing where we are intently hearing. And so when we're sowing seed and you have conversations with people, the word tells us to listen and listen with intent and to listen to what the people have to say, because that will help you speak with them. That will help you know where they're coming from, and it'll help you water the soil. It'll help you water them by listening to what's happening in their life, by listening to what's going on. It will help you till the ground. It will help you help that grow. Amen? And to truly hear Jesus' words is to believe them. When we speak God's word, we listen to the Holy Spirit that has the right word for the person. And that word, every word that you speak to them is a seed for something in their life. And that will help their faith grow. When you're speaking the word of God, amen, that will help them grow. When you speak the word of God to them. I wanted to give you a picture of what those soils look like. So when you go out of this four-wall building, you can live the Word of God, right? You can speak to other people, not just be Sunday churchers, right? But be living the Word of God, amen? And so I wanted to give you a picture of what these soils look like in real life. And so let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 12, right? Luke chapter 8, verse 12 talks about the seed that fell on the footpath or the seed that fell by the wayside, okay? So the first type of person that you might come across is that person who is the footpath or by the wayside. So in the natural, wayside means the ground that is out of the way. It's not traditional farming ground. It's by the wayside, right? In a spiritual sense, the wayside or the footpath is a place where you don't try to grow anything. It's that place over there, right? And so in a spiritual sense, the wayside or the footpath people are those that don't show any real interest in God. None of us know some of those people. They don't show any interest in God whatsoever. So when you talk to them, they may argue. They may just say, yes, yes, yes. They may agree at what they call face value. They may agree just to agree, right? But inwardly, they're skeptical and they go away. They don't understand. They don't get what you're trying to give them. That's the footpath people or the wayside people, right? And the devil comes and convinces that person to not believe it. The devil is in their life and in certain ways, and it convinces them that your word isn't true, that what you're saying is bogus and not for them. And therefore, they don't believe anything you just said. And what that seed that you sown to them will probably go no further than right there. That's the wayside, the footpath people. The second type of person is verse 13, the seeds in the rocky soil. The rocky soil people. So obviously in the natural sense, in the physical sense, stony ground is the ground that contains the large rocks and a bunch of stones and, the big rocks, the small rocks. And in the spiritual sense, it refers to the people that have hard hearts, stony hearts. They have emotional wounds. They have major sin issues and a bunch of problems. And these people usually have had a hard life and they have to deal with a lot of different things, and they can be unstable. They can be weak-minded. These people, they hear the word sown into their heart, and oftentimes they receive it with joy. Yes, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus, yes. And they might even come to church. They might even go through and say yes and say our little prayer of salvation that maybe we have them say. And the problem then with stony hearted people or hard-hearted people is that we lay the seed and then that seed needs to get rooted. But what happens usually is that temptation, persecution, or all of a sudden now there's trouble in their life. It seemed like, somebody gives their heart to the Lord and all of a sudden their life starts crashing down. Maybe you've went through that. Maybe you've seen somebody where they give their heart to the Lord and it seems like everything is going wrong now. So the temptations and all these things now take place and take precedence, and they don't know how to handle. They don't know how to handle that without being rooted, without having that base, that ground. And so they worry and they feel that the word is being too strict on them. It's hard to handle. They get offended by the word and they don't like it. And they come to realize that coming to church is too hard for them to do. And trying to follow all these rules is too hard for them to do. And so they stop. The hard part about these people that you're going to get into is that we have to try and get them to truly fall in love with God. If they truly fall in love with God, then they will endure the growing process. They will endure the growing process. At first, it's just like any new thing. The church is awesome in the beginning, and then some things, our life starts to get hard a little bit. You know, life has a tendency to do that. And when asked then to live biblically or live right, things break down. And some people and these hard-hearted people just aren't willing to pay the price. The gospel or the Bible tells us that we should count the cost of being a follower of Christ. So some of these people just want to feel good and then something happens in their life and they don't feel good and That seed doesn't take root in the rocky ground. And then in verse 14, you get to these people, the seeds that fell among the thorns. So you got the thorn patch people. In the natural, thorny ground is ground that has thorn bushes, right, growing everywhere. It can be farmland. It can be near stony land or it can be near the wayside ground. But in the spiritual sense, thorny people are those who are hard to help spiritually. And by that I mean they worry more than they should. They are caught up in riches, and they love all kinds of pleasure way too much. I know some people like that. My family, some of them. Friends, old friends too. Typically, these people are self-sufficient and think they have no need for God. Okay? The problem is that these thorny people, they're usually selfish, and they will hear what you say, but then they'll put you off. They hear what you say. They even attend church, and maybe even like going to church. And what happens with the thorny patch people is that the problems and the worries of life, bills and other things, and the love of pleasure choke out the word. They love the word. They accepted the word. They come to church. They read the word, but then the worries of life choked out what was there. Therefore, they become unfruitful, and some even quit following God. In Matthew 19, we can see an example of a thorn patch person. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm giving you examples of the people and the soils that we might come across so that we know what it is we're dealing with. We can pray specifically for those people, and we can have an idea of what we're coming up against when we're talking to people about God. Matthew 19, verse 16. I'm gonna start in, wait a minute. So someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good, but to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus said, "You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commands," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Jesus said this, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions. Give the money to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." So this man in the scripture came to Jesus and asked what he had to do to have eternal life. And Jesus gave him a list of commands, which he's already keeping. So he was already doing some things, which was good. But Jesus asked him to do one more thing, sell all he had, give it to the poor, and follow him. But he went away, sad, sorrowful, and didn't follow Jesus because he loved the riches. And this is an example of a thorn patch person. Yes, yes, I do this. Yes, I do that. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm hearing what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes, I know what I'm supposed to be living. Yes, I'm living this way, but I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to do this. And so because they're not willing to do this, they walk away. Those thorns choke out the word of God in their life. And the last is the good person, right? The good soil. Verse 15. "And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people and who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. The natural good ground is good fertile land with very little rocks, very little thorns. And in the spiritual sense, good ground is people who have a sincere good heart, completely fall in love with God, understand the word, obey it, and let it take root in their lives and produce fruit. The good thing about being good ground is that even if you're a stony or thorny heart before you heard the word, if you remove the thorns and you remove the stones and hear the word, you'll receive it and completely obey it with your heart. So even if those thorny people or the stony people hear the word and then remove the stones, remove the thorns, they become good ground. Amen? The word can be rooted in anybody. The word can be rooted in you, and you can be good ground, and anybody out there can be good ground. That person, that those people that you pictured in your mind can be good ground, can be good soil. And with a farmer or somebody who does gardening, what do you do before you lay seed? You till the soil to get rid of the rocks, to get rid of the thorn, to clean that up a little bit. And then you throw the seed, because then what? You find good ground and it'll grow. So maybe our job is to be like the farmer. When we meet somebody, till the ground, till the ground, till the ground, till the ground to loosen up the soil so when we throw the seed, it finds good ground. Amen? Not to say, "Oh, that ground is too stony. That ground is too thorny. That's not going to grow there." Well, what if you tilled it a little bit? What if you worked the ground a little bit? What if you set the tone a little bit? Then throw the seed. All right? Amen? Amen. I want you to turn to Philippians Hold on. Before that, let's turn to Acts. The parable of the sower, as you're going there, just listen a little bit. The parable of the sower is not just for sinners, but I think it's for believers, and so we can apply it to our life. So we can apply it and know what it is that we're supposed to be doing. How we're supposed to be doing it. I believe that if truth be told, many people who come to God and are typically stony or thorny kind of people. They have hard hearts, or maybe they have like the stony people, or maybe they have good intentions, but too much stuff going on around them. So it's hard for them to get that seed placed inside in a place where it'll grow. Being good ground doesn't mean that you come to God with no problem. You know, being good ground doesn't mean you don't have problems. Being good ground is that you're able to receive the seed. And many people come to God with problems, scars, sins, baggage. Acts chapter 2. I believe in order for us to be a good farmer, so the seed, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, needs to apply to our lives. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We first, then sow the seed. You first, me first. Let's get our life on track, right? And then we can sow the seed and be an example for that person that we're trying to throw seed to. Because then they'll see what's in us and then want that for their life. And see how God changes our life so they can change their life. Amen? Philippians. Now, when we're working with people and when we are with people, whether it's before they know God or whether it's after they know God, you cannot force people to do anything. Amen? We can't force anybody to do something we don't want them to do. Sometimes you can't even force people to do something they want to do. You can't force people to serve God. Okay? You can't force them. You can't force them to change or stop doing certain things. All right? Salvation and the walk, that the path that God has us on is a personal thing. Amen? It's a personal thing. My walk's different than your walk. How I got here is different from the way you got here. Amen? Each person has to do their own thing. Scripture says that Philippians chapter 2, that's where I was going. Verse 12, it says, Dear friends, you always follow my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. In some places it says that each person is to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So we can't force somebody to go through what it is we want them to go through. But that doesn't mean they don't need help. That doesn't mean they don't need help from the church. That doesn't mean they don't need help from us teaching them the word. That means they don't need that. That doesn't mean they don't need help from people. What it means is that ultimately that they have to decide to allow God to clean them up by asking. That's usually the hardest part, asking. For us who try to minister to other people, we have to be aware of human nature and our right that we are given to choose good or evil, to choose to do good things or choose to do bad things. We have to be aware of that. Because God is not going to force anybody to do anything. He gave us free choice, free will, to choose what we want to do. Amen? So we got to be aware that when we're spreading the gospel, when we're throwing the seed, that person has to choose. God doesn't force anybody to serve him, and neither can we. But we can pray for them. Amen? We can sow the seed and pray. And then try to teach them by showing them our life. Amen? And by teaching them the Word of God. Maybe not a sit-down one-on-one teaching you over a cup of coffee and breakfast, but maybe teaching by doing. Teaching by showing. Right? Sometimes how you teach your kids to do stuff. You don't necessarily, they don't know what it is you're telling them, but if you show them how to do it, then they can do it. We can pray for them. We can intercede for them. We can try to teach them. We can bring the Word of God to them. There are a lot of things out there that hinder a person. That there are a lot of things out there that stop the person from grasping onto the Word of God. But it's our job as ministers of the Word, you and I, ministers of the Word, people who know the Word and try to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to spread the gospel, is to do that. Talk about it. Live about it. Be about it. Be about it. Because then they'll see it. If we don't live about it, be about it, do about it, they're not going to do anything with it because they're not going to see it. Amen? I don't want to seem like I'm pounding you. I'm just encouraging you. Like I said earlier, I just want to encourage you to be about it. I just want to encourage you to spread the word. I just want to encourage you to spread the gospel, but be aware of what you're going to encounter. Be aware of the backlash that you might get from those people who are not accepting of the word of God. But that doesn't mean you don't sow the seed there. Sow the seed and keep sowing the seed, right? And those people who say yes, 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 and then walk away from it, keep sowing, keep sowing, keep talking, keep loving, keep doing, keep doing it, keep doing, keep doing, keep doing. Till the ground, sow the seed, water it, love on those people, amen? The best thing that we can do as ministers, you and I, outside of these walls, is to live it, breathe it, do it, water it, sow it, love on it, speak about it, be about it. That's the best thing we can do. That will touch the heart of the people, and that will change the heart of the people. And after we do that, we can go home and we can pray. What are we going to pray? We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit work a miracle. Because we all know where we've been in life, and salvation is a miracle. Salvation in my life was a miracle. Amen? So we can talk about it, live about it, be about it, and pray about it. Amen? Then that seed will fall on good ground. Then God will make it grow. Amen? I just want to encourage you to go outside these walls and just be about it. Be about it. That's what we're looking for. That's what people are looking for. They just want the truth. They just want reality. They want to be real. They want you to be real. So be real. God lives inside of you. God comes out of you. Amen? Amen. I just encourage you, again, be about it. Live about it. Love on people. Love on them. Pray for them. Show them the way. God will work with you. Amen? God will work with you. Amen? Amen. Praise to God. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word and what it teaches us. We thank you, Lord, for your word of encouragement that gets us the encouragement to go out beyond these four walls and do what it is you want us to do. Speak about it, be about it, and pray for others and show them the way to allow you to do the work, Father God. We just thank you for this day, and I just bless each and every person that's here today that they have the strength to go out and the strength to be about it and live about it, Lord. And the Holy Spirit just work through them and give them the words to speak and give them the things to do and the way to be, to show the other people and to work the ground, to till the ground, Father, so that they can be like the farmer and spread it out and be expecting the harvest and be expecting your work, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this church, and thank you for these people. Bless them and encourage them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to Faith Ministries Church today. I hope this is an encouragement for you to go out beyond the four walls and be about it. Amen. Have a good week. We'll see y'all tonight for the Spanish service. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.